Our next public hearing is subdivision 2003-50, Kaplan, Gallo, and Howitt.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, dividing 57 acres into 53 lots located on both sides of Route 257, approximately 2,465 feet southwest of Route 1. On Monday, the applicants provided us with a booklet. Exhibit booklet, again, about an inch and a half thick. That booklet includes reference to site data, site information, water service, sanitary sewer service, stormwater management system, and a large appendices. We also received a letter, which Commissioner, I believe all have copies. From Mark Dunkel, from Parkowski, Gerken, Swayze, probably said that wrong.
No, I think you're right on it.
And in reference to consideration, y'all have copies, it's just for the record.
Right.
And I don't know if Shane has any additional comments or not.
I just provided each of you with a letter of opposition from Preston and Ellen Shockley. Brief history on this. Commission denied this application September 9th of 2004. The decision was appealed to the County Council on April 19th of 2005. The Council upheld the Commission's decision. The applicants then appealed that decision to Superior Court. The court remanded the application back to the Council so they could get their vote on record. Some of the votes weren't recorded. And on July 25th of last year, the council was advised that they could re-vote or remand it back to the commission, and that's what they chose to do, so. That's
here
where
it is.
We're at.
Isn't that special? Okay, all right then. Was there anyone here representing this application?
A little bit different. Reduced.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, for the record, Mark Dunkel, I'm an attorney with the law firm of Parkowski, Gerken, Swayze, just like Mr. Lank said, 116 West Water Street, Dover. And since it's been some time since I've been here, my Delaware State bar number is 2656, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. And you know, you do know how to pick them. You don't come here very often, but when you do, you always seem to have one that's exciting.
Mr. Wheatley, this is special, as you mentioned and Shane summarized quite accurately. But as I put in my cover letter to the commission, we believe we're here with a new and improved version and sincerely paid attention to the comments from the commission in 2004. Not everything, not 100%, but we really gave it the college try. We've also been in a huddle outside with some folks that you're going to hear in opposition to listen to their concerns, give some explanations, and we hopefully can, again, not 100%, but maybe help bridge some gaps. And also on the Shockley opposition letter, the Shockleys own the yellow house that's right there in the farm across from the creek. And would like to address their concerns too, which really mirror the commission's concerns from 2004. But for the record, and I believe Mr. Lang said this, but I would ask that the ECI booklet, as well as my correspondence, be made a part of the record. This is an application for a subdivision of what in Kent County we call a first permitted use or a by right use, that is single family homes. The AR1 zoning, of course, allows agriculture and single-family homes. It's a project for 48 single-family lots. That's down from 53 originally, on 55.7 acres. What I'd like to throw out to you tonight, based upon the conversations that we've had outside, based upon the Shockley's letter, and also a little bit of feedback from staff, lot 48 on the plan, what I would call the very skinny lot, it's out. That's on the creek side, and we would like, as a gesture, to take that out, put it in the community space, make it part of that creekside marshland space. So we will only have two buildable lots on the creek side. If that was the condition, if that was a condition of approval, we would suggest that to the commission to consider. The project is located on Road 257 and Beaver Dam Creek Road. It's actually about a half a mile from Route 1. It is zoned AR1. It is a low-density area. The density that we've proposed is about 0.9 units per acre. If you were able to go in, for example, and do a cluster on the site, if that were approved, that would be about 1.5 per acre. So we believe we're meeting the intent of low density on this site. The Shockleys are the only residents really right on this spot, and their lot's about 3/4 of an acre, and ours are half an acre, so we think they're reasonably comparable. We've given you a location overview map that's up for the public and for the commission. The bullseye is the project there in the center, and what we wanted to illustrate is the character of the surrounding area. All of the green shaded lots are either approved or being considered residential developments, and they primarily are single family developments. So we think that now in 2007, our project is certainly in character with the area. Make no mistake, it's a transition. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. The purple tracks are all ag preservation farms. The green are residential development, and there we are, right there with our relatively small site. So it's a transitional use, but of course it's an appropriate use in the AR1 zone. One of the significant issues that was raised in 2004 by the commission, which the Shockleys raised in their letter, and I think the folks that might be speaking in opposition raised, is Road 257. This plan requires the substantial upgrading and approval of Road 257 along the perimeter of the site. Gary, if you could switch to the site map. It has about, I had down here 18 foot wide of paved surface. I guess in some places it's 22 feet wide, but that's the current width of this road. Commission was concerned about that, no paved shoulders, and also the need for farm equipment and farm vehicles to pass down this road once you have new folks on the road. As indicated in the booklet and in my summary, this road will be upgraded by the developer. It will have paved shoulders. It will be basically increased to a paving width of 32 feet from its current 18 to 22 feet. So it's going to be substantially widened, and it's going to have those paved shoulders, which will have a significant impact on the safety of the road. I do have with me tonight, who I'll bring up when I get through my summary, Eric Ostemchuk of Traffic Planning and Design. He's a Delaware licensed professional engineer who performed a traffic impact study on the site and has opinions about that and its safety, which was not available for the commission back in 2004. I'm on item 5 of my letter. One of the other large concerns was this driveway entrance on the curve of 257. And there were originally 3 lots up to the upper left-hand corner of the development on the creek side of 257. Now you see there are 2 lots. And the driveway entrance for the leftmost lot was basically in the curve. And the reason for that at the time was there's already a drive there now. We've moved that over so that the entrance, and we've eliminated a lot, so we have now 2 lots instead of 3. The driveway will be right between both of those lots, a shared driveway at a legal width, and it will be coming off the straightaway portion of the road. And again, the traffic engineer will give you an opinion that is a safe and safer design. The traffic impact study is part of the booklet that's already part of the record. The conclusion is that there are no traffic safety issues created by this development with this design. Letter of no objection has already been received from DelDOT. A traffic impact study wasn't required for this size development, but given the concerns of the commission, one was performed and presented to you. The plan has also greatly expanded the open space in basically encompassing almost all of the marsh that's on the creek side. If you've been down there, and I know that you go out, it's wooded along the road, and then it would go into the marsh. We have about 12 acres of protected space. One of the other concerns, and I think you'll hear that again tonight, is that this area is used quite frequently for hunting, for waterfowl hunting, the creek, obviously, from its makeup. We're going to do a couple of things, or suggest they be made conditions. And one is we post the property for the property owners to understand that it is historically used for hunting, sort of the opposite of posting, as you normally would think, about no hunting. That the folks need to know that this is an area subject to hunting. Secondly, in the deeds themselves, we would propose a disclaimer in each deed, similar to what you have for agricultural use, that this is an area used for hunting and fishing. And thirdly, that would also be reflected in the restrictive covenants. In talking to the developer, and I did want to update a little bit of information for you, although KGH Properties LLC is the applicant, the owner, and the developer, one of the members of the LLC is removed under an agreement to be removed, and that is Gallo. The Gallo members are no longer contractually a part of KGH property, so it's Ms. Howlett and Kaplan subject to a contractual agreement. I just wanted to update that information for you. One of the suggestions that the owner would like to make as a condition is actually a voluntary act by the owner is to allow formal hunting rights on the marshland that's owned by the developer. We'd be happy to talk to, I know Mr. Reed is here, I know Mr. Downs is here, folks that are in that area and use the creek to hunt, about hunting rights that would formalize that use. We're also open to consideration of the location of a duck blind if that would something that would work out. We have consulted actually with an avid hunter and shooter, a gentleman named Jody Hudson, who's here tonight, who can answer any questions the commission might have about how you make this compatible, this hunting along the creek and the marsh and this development, which we believe that it is. In some sense, it's already been proven because the Shockley's home is there and live adjacent to the area. This property will be served by a central on-site sewer system. DENREC has approved the soils. They've been extensively studied. And Mr. Gary Couples with ECI will be here to explain that and answer any questions related to that, as well as to drainage. I know in talking to Mr. Downs and Mr. Reed and the neighbors, there are questions about the central system and questions about drainage. All very reasonable questions, and Mr. Couples will give an overview of that. Obviously, this project is going to meet all of the Soil Conservation District requirements, DENREC requirements on discharge. One of the other, I think, important design changes to this plan is we've pulled every lot line out of the wetlands. The lots on the creek side previously. Originally, they went all the way down to the creek. And then I think the next iteration of the plan, they didn't go that far, but they still included the wetlands. All of those lots are out of the wetlands line. Now, what you will see is the buffer, that buffer space that's required by the code, but that's not in the wetlands. So we've tried to address that concern to address the environmental issues, or at least questions, and also to integrate the design into the surrounding area, which is, of course, one of your requirements. There's also a substantial buffer, which is required by the code, a 30-foot forested buffer on the other part of the property. This development will provide for sidewalks on both sides of the street throughout this community. And the ECI, and I think Lawrence mentioned it was about an inch or an inch and a half, and I sort of reference it by weight, but it's about 5 pounds maybe. The ECI booklet is in and before you, and in the appendix we have accumulated, and I'd just like for the record to just to identify them, important documents for your consideration in compliance with the ordinance. We have the utility commitment letters at Appendix A, and in Appendix B we just wanted to show you the original preliminary site plan from 04 and compare it to the revised 2007. It's just a smaller version. You have the more detailed version before you. Appendix C are the restrictions and covenants that were previously reviewed. We would have to revise those to include the condition about the hunting and making everyone aware of that, which we certainly would do. Appendix D is a preliminary wetlands investigation. E was the assessment of the cultural resource review. Our phase one was at Appendix F. Appendix G is the soil investigative reports that would support the central system and the drainage design. Appendix H, which is something that the commission never had before, is the traffic impact study. Also is the DLDOT correspondence. We've already received their letter of no objection, but the traffic impact study is something that's new. I is just that map at the bottom that's showing this project in relation to other developments in the area. I would also point out, and you'll know this if you've been out there, which I'm sure you have, that there is some new housing down this road. So there's some single-family housing coming in to the area. I will guess they're probably not exactly half-acre lots. They're not 3 or 4 or 5 acre lots, but there is some housing coming into the area. Appendix J finally is a comprehensive submission to meet the requirements of Section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, which are part of the record, and I won't review them all for you. I know we're at the very end of the agenda tonight, and I don't want to keep you here any longer than necessary. We believe that, of course, it's my job to make this representation, that this subdivision application for these single-family homes does meet all the legal requirements of the Sussex County subdivision ordinance. It's appropriate for the zone, the AR1 zone. As I said in the beginning, it's good for farming. It's also good for single-family homes as a first permitted use. It's a small development in terms of what you normally see with now, we're suggesting 47 lots. That size development really does not pose an impact on the community as far as schools and services. I would like to ask at this point to have our traffic engineer come up, and at the same time, Gary, if you would put up the diagram of the improvement to the road, and these are both, the last time I was here, you had to push the button, so it's been a while. And Eric, if you would identify yourself to the members of the commission.
Certainly, Eric Ostomchuk. I'm a principal with traffic planning and design.
Right. And Eric, if you would just tell us, are you a licensed professional engineer?
Yes.
And are you a licensed engineer in the state of Delaware?
Yes.
Right. Do you have any specialty?
Yes, my specialty is traffic engineering, as is the name of my firm, traffic planning and design.
Okay. Now, just tell everybody the address and location.
Certainly. 2500 East High Street, Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
All right. Now, even though you're down up in Pennsylvania, you are familiar with this site and this plan.
Absolutely.
All right. And did you perform a traffic impact study for Creek Run?
Yes.
Okay. And that's part of the booklet that the commission has. And in addition to just studying the traffic, the amount of traffic, did you also form some opinions on site distances and the design of the of the road and the entrance to the development.
Yes.
Right. If you could give some description to the commission, and let me ask you the opinion question first, and then you can support it. You believe that this development, if built in accordance with the plans, poses any traffic safety hazard?
No.
Okay, and you're going to have to tell the folks in the commission why you reached that conclusion and how.
I would love to. The traffic impact study typically is an evaluation of a capacity, from a capacity standpoint, whether the roadway and intersection can handle the traffic. This is a little different in that there are a lot of concerns with the location of the access points, Round Pole Bridge Road, how that operates in conjunction with those access points. And what we did was to evaluate. Certainly. Try this. What we did was, is that better? Was to evaluate the access points with respect to DELDA criteria as far as site distance goes. And site distance is the distance that when one is exiting their driveway that they can see in either direction so as to avoid any collisions.
Let me focus you then first on the main entrance to the development, which the commission can see on the plan. You stay by the microphone.
Absolutely.
It's sort of what I would call a boulevard entrance. Did you make any determination about the appropriateness of the location of the main entrance to the development?
Yes, absolutely. We evaluated the criteria, and in developing the criteria, speed is a factor with respect to how far you can see. Round Pole Bridge Road is not signed with any speed limit, although we did investigate the site distance there. And in fact, for that main access point, vehicles could be traveling well in excess of 40 miles per hour, and you could still have adequate sight distance to be able to see to travel out of that access point.
All right, so in your opinion, the boulevard entrance to this development with this number of lots is safe from a traffic standpoint?
Absolutely.
Right. Now, you also are aware that there are two lots, 46 and 47 on the creek side, are proposed to have a shared driveway entrance, which is sort of the green strip that we see on the colored plan, off of Road 257. Did you have a chance to evaluate that from a safety standpoint?
Absolutely. The same respect, we evaluated that access point and found the same conclusion that the site distance was in excess of the requirement for vehicles traveling in excess of 40 miles per hour along that. Just to clarify, as you look at the plan, you'll see that the site distance would in fact go through the inside of the curve for the roadway, and the pond or the basin there that's planned, there are no berms associated with that. It's my understanding that would hinder any site distance, no fencing, that type of thing. So you can utilize that. In fact, it being out there again today, it certainly would be lower than what exists out there today as far as the foliage in that area.
Right. So just to, if I understand it, Eric, do you have any traffic safety concerns with the wet pond number one that's shown on the plan?
No.
Okay. The existing roadway, Road 257, is, I got two different numbers. It's either 18 or 22 feet wide paved, but at its current paved width, in your opinion, is it already adequate to handle the existing traffic and even the traffic that would be generated from this development?
Yes. The numerous measurements that we took out there, we measured somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, 21 feet as far as cartway width is concerned. And based on the traffic that's out there, the traffic to be generated by this development, it is well within the guidelines for the width of roadway required by AASHTO and DLDOT for those types of volumes.
All right. Now, this applicant is going to increase the width of that roadway along the entire perimeter of the development. We're going to end up with, including the shoulders, 32 feet of paved width. Does that add any element of safety, in your opinion, to this stretch of the road?
Certainly, because the applicant, you know, controls that frontage, they can provide that area where you would have paved shoulders. If paved shoulders provide an area if vehicles were to break down, slow-moving vehicles to travel, and that type of thing, So certainly the applicant is doing something along their frontage, the area that they control to improve safety along the
right.
roadway.
One of the specific concerns previously from the commission, and I think probably also from the residents, was the ability of farm equipment to be able to travel down this road, as it probably always has, safely and, you know, compatibly, if that's a word, with this new development. With the widened road width, what's your opinion about the ability of farm equipment to mix with residential traffic?
Well, certainly with the widening proposed along the frontage, that would certainly make it much more compatible and a safer environment in that area.
Right. And you did raise, when we were talking about the site distance on the curve for the site, you did raise an interesting point. If this field, and I don't know if it's ever been in corn, but if this field's in corn, how does that affect site distances on the road right now?
Well, certainly anything that was would be on the inside of that corner would hinder site distance as you're traveling around the corner. The ground currently sits a little bit above the roadway grade, and then anything above that, certainly I believe even today as I was traveling, it was hindered by the foliage that is out there. So certainly it would be a less safe condition, or is a less safe condition, that being blocked.
And if with the commission's pleasure, I was going to ask Mr. Couples to come up, and but certainly Mr. Austin Chuck will be here for questions if you want to do it that way, if that's all right, Mr. Chairman.
Please
right.
do.
I would like to ask Gary Couples to come to the podium. Thanks, Eric. And Gary, although you probably need no introduction, if you would, for the record, identify yourself and your qualifications and your firm.
Good evening. My name is Gary Couples. I'm a professional land surveyor and professional planner. I'm also the president of ECI 220 Rehoboth Avenue, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
All right. And again, for the record, Gary, your firm put together the book, the rather thick book that's been submitted to the commission. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
And the Phase 1 environmental report, did your firm actually prepare that?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I would like to focus your attention on two specifics, but first I just would like you to confirm that you heard my representations to the commission in my review of the summary, and in your opinion, do you agree with the representations that I made?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, first I'd like to focus you on the roadway improvements. And if you need me to go point at the exhibit, I can, but you have exhibits up for the commission and the audience. If you could just give us some explanation of what you're going to do to the roadway on 257.
If I'd step over to the plan here, that'd be okay.
This?
Sure.
It's your probably picking me up.
Turn it this way so it's
it. It's right here.
Same one. I can't see what he's pointing to here.
Gary, what I'd like you to do is, yeah, stand on this side.
Okay.
Turn it to what? Just a little bit. And you guys. You're certainly allowed to move around if you need to.
Maybe it'd be more convenient for you just to move up front. You want to sit here?
There you go, front row seat. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Couple.
Gary, just if you would explain the box at the top and also the cutaway there. What's the existing conditions, and what are we going to do with the road?
The box at the top basically shows what is there now, what will be there when the project is completed. And there's a box to the left and a box to the right. What that does is it provides a typical cross-section. The box to the left represents what's there now. The box to the right represents what will be there should the project move forward. And what's there now is a plus or minus 18 to 20 foot wide roadway. It meanders all over the place. There's not a real firm edge. I know when Eric was out there, I think he measured 20 feet. Our surveyors were out there, we measured 18. So it just depends on where on the road you measured the width. What we're proposing to do, and if you look in the appendix of the report that we provided. There's a letter there from DelDOT that pretty specifically addresses the improvements that they'd like to see on the roadway, and we concur with that. The very first thing we're going to do on either side of the cartway, the existing cartway,
let me just stop you for a second. Gary, let me just stop you for a second. That's Appendix H, and it's really basically the last item in Appendix H for the commission. That's right. Go ahead.
Okay. And what we're doing is we're adding, as far as the traveled way, the cartway, we're adding 2 feet on either side. So what that'll result in is 11-foot lanes. That would be, so we, the total cartway width would be 22 feet. And then in addition to that, we're adding 5-foot shoulders on either side, and they're paved shoulders. So the effective width becomes the 22-foot of proposed cartway plus the two 5-foot shoulders ends up with a paved width of 32 feet.
All right. And Gary, if, now I'd like to switch gears. If you could put up the colored plan. I know in having some conversation with the neighbors, the folks that are going to speak in opposition, at least two items came up in discussion, more than two, but two were, number one, the central sewer system for the development. How does that work and where does it go? And number two is the stormwater management or the drainage. How does that work and where does that go? So if you could walk us through both of those.
Okay, yeah, right there. Let's start with the sanitary sewage, if that would be okay with you folks. Unlike some subdivisions along this road where the people just have conventional community like a septic tank in the backyard, what we're proposing to do is we're going to have a collection system, a central collection system for all the sewage that's generated by these lots. It's collected and it's run down to a pump station that's along on the other side of Brown Pole Bridge Road to the north side. And it's pumped from there up to a treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant, to be located on the southern boundary of the site. At that point, the wastewater is treated to a tertiary treatment standard, and at that point, it is dispersed into either a drip irrigation or a low-pressure system that the approval for is within in the booklet. We already have the soils work done and approved through DENREC for this.
And Gary, that's what I was going to ask you to explain. You've done studies or testing for this location on the site, and that supports the central system at this location. Is that right? Explain the drainage.
Okay, well, there's just one more thing to talk about, and is that we are presently monitoring the groundwater, which is a requirement of DENREC now for community systems. And that's been monitored for 2 years. There's been no problem, no change in the permitting activities. But that is being done, and that was a recommendation of DENREC to do that, and we've done just that.
Right.
Okay. Now then, with regard to the stormwater system, initially when this project was brought forward to this board, we were originally looking at doing no curbs and no sidewalks. It was just going to be the paving and gutters and or swales. We've subsequently have amended the plan to reflect the current thinking here in Sussex County. So what we're planning on doing is we're planning on having curbs and gutters and a conventional stormwater management system. So in essence, the stormwater will be collected in the street and transferred to the stormwater ponds that are shown on this plan, where we don't really have to worry too much about the quantity storm here because the creek here is tidal. But what we do have to worry about is the quality. So these two ponds are to provide quality treatment of the stormwater and in accordance with all applicable rules and regulations for our Sussex County Conservation District. And then eventually it will discharge to the creek. However, that's going to be, again, in complete consistency with the regulations. Now, it's important to note that the stormwater discharge cannot exceed the current conditions as it exists today. So we can't create an increase. We've got to hold the water that we have on site and handle it there. then we can discharge it. But no more water can leave this site than what's going to leave here today.
And Gary, will both of the ponds that are shown be wet ponds?
Yes, they will.
Right, and do you know if the developer or you are recommending adding any features to the ponds?
We're going to have aeration in them. They are going to be function as stormwater ponds and landscape ponds.
Okay. And for me, aeration, that means a fountain?
That means a fountain.
Okay.
Yep.
And Gary, I know your booklet is already been submitted and is in the record, but in your opinion, does this submission meet the subdivision requirements of Sussex County?
I certainly hope so.
Well, I need a better answer
yes.
than that. My client just had a heart attack back there. And specifically, subsection 99-9C is met, in your opinion, by this submission?
Yes, it is.
All right. Mr. Chairman, that's pretty much our presentation. I do have our hunting and shooting expert here if he needs to answer any questions. Eric is here for the traffic safety, you've heard. Gary is here. Whatever I could add, I'll add too, but that's our presentation, except I would like to have a little time after the end of questions just to give you a short summary.
Okay, that's fine. If you'll thank you, and if you will stand down for a few minutes, we'll... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Don't stand down yet. We're going to see if anybody up here has any questions for
yes,
you.
Sir.
Okay, Mr. Burton.
I have a few questions. The paper I have says 53 lots, then said 48, you're now saying 47.
Yeah. The plan that was submitted for tonight and advertised for tonight is 48 lots. The original submission was 53 back in 2004, and what we're proposing as a condition is that we would eliminate lot 48 and incorporate it in the open space.
Can you go back to that colored map that had the developments that were already?
Sure.
What is the difference between the two greens?
Mr. Bird, I'm going to let the engineer who prepared it answer the question between the two greens. I think it's approved and pending, but.
The light green is what is existing, and the dark green is what is submitted or approved projects, but they really haven't moved advanced forward.
Right, and brown?
The brown is commercial.
Okay.
That's well, for example, you have Steamboat Mountain right there.
Okay. Another question for the traffic impact site. When was that done?
We initially started looking at the site back in 2004, updated in 2005, and then recently updated for the driveways were evaluated based on the plan. The study was not updated because the lots had decreased, but the evaluation of the driveways was conducted recently.
What time of year was that? Just this time of year?
As far as traffic counts that were conducted, they were conducted in September.
You're including the wetlands across the street in your open space. Is that part of that's part of your open space calculation? The marsh.
I just want to double check. That's correct, Mr. Berger.
Was there street lighting included in this plan?
Come on up, Terry.
Yes, there is.
Are there any other amenities other than I see a gazebo and a tot lot?
Those are the amenities.
And the road repair or the road widening that you're doing is from the beginning of the property all the way to the end, so it's all the way around the curve.
All the way around the frontage.
All
All the frontage.
All the frontage.
Point it out. Yeah, where it starts and stops, I think, is what Mr. Burke is interested in.
Yeah, that's what I want to know too.
Does it include to the bridge?
Up at the top, or not?
Starts at the bridge. Starts at the bridge where we control the property. Starts at the bridge and ends right here.
Okay, it doesn't go down?
It doesn't go down. We don't feel that we have any impact on.
Wait a minute, say I was.
It'll land right here. It starts here at the bridge and will continue right around the curve to about here.
Why wouldn't you carry it all the way down if it's to your property line?
We don't feel like there's any impact on traffic. All our traffic is going to go out through Round Pole Bridge Road out to Route 1.
Does Delta understand that?
I think so.
It'll be Delta's determination anyway.
Yeah, I would agree with Mr. Lank. If the DLDOT comes back and says we have to widen it, then we'll have to widen it. But that's not been the initial requirement.
What about half of property pin further down? I mean, if somebody develops on the other side, they're not going to have to do it because they don't own both sides either. So what happens with
I think if Gary can correct me if I'm wrong, if we had to have an additional right-of-way, we'd have to invade our lots, wouldn't we, Gary?
I guess I'm trying to understand your question, Rick. If you're,
I'm trying to follow up on.
I just want to know where you were blackout.
Yeah, if you stop at the point of the curve, okay.
This is what we control. We control both sides up to here.
Right.
After that, we only control one side.
Okay, if so how does this side of the road get improved from lots 7 to 2?
On our side?
Yeah.
If DLDOT requires us to improve, to continue our improvements along our property line, obviously we're going to do that.
But and DLDOT's only going to require them to provide for the 40-foot right-of-way or whatever from center line.
Right. We're going to make the right-of-way dedication
on our side.
I can't do anything about
right. I understand
what somebody else
owns
on the other side. On our side, we'll make that dedication.
Okay.
And that includes a multimodal path, according to DLDOT's letter.
Multimodal path is shown.
Yeah, right.
On
but
and
this
is connected to the sidewalk system.
I say that because it wasn't mentioned in your presentation.
So the 15-foot wide permanent easement for a 10-foot wide multi-use path is hereby established.
That is correct. Thank you.
On that stormwater management pond on that curve there, would that be burned?
No, it'll be landscaped. Were you concerned about how far it is away from the road?
No, I'm worried about sight line.
No, there won't be any problem with sight distance. That's the reason we've put a pond in there. That's why there isn't any lotting out, is that we recognize that we did not want to invade the sight distance around the curve here.
But
so
if
that's
you landscape
why we put
it,
the pond. No.
But if you landscape it, aren't you impeding?
Well, not if we landscape it with low. And there's a mound there now that we'll shave that back. What we're going to do is increase the sight distance rather than decrease the sight distance around the curve.
The pond will be
Down in.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
With your the two remaining lots you have on the opposite side of the road.
Yes, sir.
How great is your wetlands setback? Or your buffer from the wetlands?
You can answer that. Please.
The buffer's shown. Actually, this area here in the dark crosshatch is the state wetland, and that reflects the 50-foot buffer. What we did is we have the federal wetlands, the jurisdictional delineation that we've applied for, which haven't yet to get. It's been up in Philadelphia for quite some time. As you know, they're not issuing any. But we do have a good delineation of the wetland. That's why we kept the lot lines on this side of the wetland, so we've not encroached at all in any of the wetlands.
Here,
so not
I think
only do we have
if
the
you
buffer,
could, I think Mr. Johnson would like a, probably a specific number. Can you tell from the detailed plan, what's the distance from the lots to the wetlands? So how much space is that?
I guess I'm not understanding. The wetlands, the jurisdiction, federal wetlands form the back line of those lots. The state wetlands are much further beyond. They're about, well, anywhere from 25 feet or 50 feet, excuse me, to maybe 120 feet to the state wetland line.
But from the federal wetlands, what I'm hearing you say then is that the lot lines butt right up to them.
Exactly. We're right up to the, on, right on.
Without any buffer?
There is no buffer. There was no buffer required, no. What we did buffer was the state line.
You're saying there's no buffer required from the federal wetlands?
Correct.
But the buffer requirement is from the state line, and we have a 50-foot wetland buffer from that.
And how would you delineate that on those two lots so that the homeowners do not encroach upon that 50-foot buffer?
Well, what we've done in the past is we've installed carsonite markers. They're sort of a flexible marker that goes underground. It's about that wide, and they're marked federal wetlands, and they're put in at about 50-foot intervals along the line so people know that they're not to be encroached upon.
So am I correct in that the main difference between what you're proposing tonight and what was turned down in the past, which predated my appointment to the commission, was that you've taken out basically six lots off of the other side of the road? Is that
actually what happened? Is that those lots that were removed were on this side of the road?
Correct.
On the north side of the road, and those lots extended all the way to the edge of the Beaver Dam Creek.
Right.
Because, and what we recognize is we're not going to have the wetland, the lots involved at all in the wetlands. So what we did is we truncated the lots, brought them all the way back to the federal wetland line, which is the most difficult line to deal with. So it has the most impact. So we brought it all the way back. We could have taken it to the state line. We chose not to. We brought it back to the federal line. So there was no question. None of these lots are in the wetlands. Period.
And Mr. Johnson, let me answer the rest of your question. That was one of the things that we did. Other thing that was significant is in eliminating the lots and making the two larger lots, 46 and 47, there on the left, we moved that driveway entrance over out of the curve. And that was a significant concern. And then the other concern that was raised was, what's the impact on traffic? Is there a traffic safety problem? There wasn't any opinion or engineering study that said there was a problem, but it was a concern. And so we addressed that by asking Eric and his company to do the traffic impact study with their conclusion that it would be safe and there wouldn't be an adverse impact. So I think those are, in my recollection, the significant changes from what was here before.
And I guess this is for council. Is this, are we considering this as an appeal of the, or is this a brand new
ball?
Brand new
from scratch. Okay.
Yeah. Unless Mr. Dunkel wants us to consider it some other way, but that's how it's been advertised. I mean, it's brand new.
At
this point. Whole new deal.
Okay, so I don't need to go into those issues. I have no further questions.
Right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
So, why do you feel it's necessary to even have any lots across the road? You would avoid a lot of the hunting issues right there.
Yeah, Mr. Gordy, it's a question that we've been asked before, and I guess the best answer I can give is that the property owner bought this property to develop it for single-family homes in the best way that they thought they could. Originally, they had a lot more lots. They reduced those back. The lots that are on the creek side are the most desirable. I mean, I wouldn't represent it to you any other way. And so what we've tried to do is include those in the development because they're an important feature of the development. It's the best use of the property in an environmentally sensitive way to develop it. And we think we can address the hunting issues because There's a tremendous amount of distance between these two lots and the creek. I don't know the exact measurement, but it's substantial. So there's really no issue of shot. And of course, you can't shoot across the road. That's a federal offense. So we think that we balance that. And as I said, we're open to actually formally agreeing to some hunting rights arrangement along the creek, maybe even a duck blind that's situated in such a way that nobody's even shooting towards the houses. I mean, that's one of the suggestions we had. So I guess it's a compromise. The best answer I can give you is that.
The east side of the property, I guess it joins the east side of the property, which joins, it says lands of Island, the Farms Incorporated, on the east side. Is there a 30-foot buffer there, or is there one needed? It's not in farmland now?
No, it's not farmland. It's in woods.
In woods.
Yep.
And then inside, I guess, besides lot 38, this is lands of Frederick and Carol Ann Pepper.
Yeah, I had the same question too. Is that just showing the, I guess, the current or prior owners of the whole tract? It almost makes it look like they own an internal.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Like it's in the community wastewater
right
area.
Lot, yeah, like besides lot 38 and right.
Maybe they have a reservation in. I don't know.
You see lot 38?
Gary, you see that?
Yeah, I see that.
That's
like a computer issue.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they had
internal. It has the same thing. That was the question I had on the north side of the county road in the wetlands there. It says Frederick and Caroline Pepper. It almost makes it look like there's a out parcel on it, and I'm just not sure.
Well, no, actually what they were is that's the original, that's the parent. And there was two tracks. There was just the track on the north side of the road, and then there's a track on the south side. And Peppers were the original owners of it. That never got amended to reflect the property did change ownership.
But that's all part of this project, though. That's what I
yes,
make
sir.
Clear. Okay.
That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Gordy.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few. Do you see a need to have any parking near the gazebo and tot lot?
We hope everybody will use the sidewalks and walk to the open space. I don't think we've actually considered it, if it's necessary. I think the thinking is it's relatively small development, and we should encourage folks to use the sidewalks. That's why they're put in. So they probably the answer would be no, that it wouldn't be necessary. If you have any opinion on that.
If it would be the desire of the commission to have us provide some parking, we could certainly do that. But again, with a tot lot, I just as soon as not provide parking, quite candidly, from security issues. But if it's your desire to have a couple of spaces, we can certainly provide them.
No, just seemed like from lot 22, lot 23, it'd be a long walk to the tot lot, but it might get the kids good and tired out by the time they get there.
You might burn them up.
Where the parents out too.
Any thoughts for a school bus stop or shelter at the entranceway?
When this drawing was prepared initially, that was not a requirement. We will certainly make that provision as part of the final plan.
Could you tell me where you envision the street frontage for a residence that would go on lot number 28? And I ask that because I'm just trying to think how that would impact the lot owner of lot number 29. Would they be looking at the side of the house or back of the house?
Which lot again?
The corner lot.
Number 28. Would that just... curious where you see that.
Where's the front?
Frontage.
I think that's going to they're going to front on Foxgrove Drive.
The way it's drawn, it's facing Sage Court.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a greater setback. You got to face it either way.
It's a corner lot. It could be either way.
Certain setbacks. The setbacks are different on the corner side.
I guess if you own lot 29 or 27, concern you. Since this area here still is primarily a rural area, you are proposing street lights. Got an idea what the candle power would be for any light pollution? I mean, you're providing street lights as a safety, but if we're going to have the Shockley residents near, maybe they...
I don't think we'd want to do it with high density lighting. What I would envision would be lighting the intersections and trying to keep it down to a dull roar so that we don't light it up.
So that would be
something. We want to provide it in so that it provides a security, provide safety, but not to the point where it would be like downtown Rehoboth.
And so that would be something that if you got an approval, you'd pick up on the final site plan, the location of school bus stop as well.
Put the school bus stop on and the street lights. Absolutely.
And you mentioned that you brought a Mr. Hudson, I think a Mr. Jody Hudson.
That's correct.
You mind if we hear from him for a couple minutes?
He didn't bring his guns with him tonight.
Watch him about knives more than guns.
What was that?
I didn't say anything.
Gentlemen. Jody Hudson, Milton and Lewis, Delaware. And they've asked me, just because I've been an avid hunter and I'm still an avid firearms enthusiast, just to answer any questions. And I've been very impressed that several suggestions I gave them in keeping with maintaining the character of hunting for the folks across the road. I didn't know who they were until tonight. And the developer's representatives took each of those, as you've heard tonight, which was a deed restriction, a note in the covenants for all the lots, and a sign on the property that this is a hunting area. And then I suggested, since the considerations of the hunters on the other side of the creek anyway would be not being able to fire at the house, and of course they're not allowed to fire shot over or onto the road, the possibility of even allowing the hunters to have a hunting easement, or they suggested even a permanent ability to hunt on this side, their side of the creek, or even have a duck blind there. So those were the inputs that I had, just from a safety and maintaining the traditional character of duck hunting, waterfowl hunting.
Give the commission an idea of the shot carry.
Well, that's a difficult one because some of you guys I know have been hunters and still are. You know, used to be we had lead shot, then it went to steel shot, which, you know, doesn't carry nearly as far. But now we can see where there's a transition going to things that are even heavier than lead, which do carry farther. But again, you know, the restrictions are such that the road is a predominant restriction in that you're not allowed, as you may probably already know, you're not allowed to hunt so that your shot goes into the road or over the road. So, and of course, Mr. Reed has already told me that, you know, his hunting is already only left and only right from his duck blind on the other side of the creek. And then there is already a barrier here, which looks like it might be close to maybe 100 yards or so here. But, you know, I don't know that we can tell, for any of you that are still hunters or ever have been, I don't know if we can tell how far the shot will go, but, you know, evidence is right now that there'd be no harmful situation outside of 50 or 100 yards under anything that I can think of. You know, you might still get some a perfect 45 degree angle, which would be the most trajectory. You could, I guess, get shot raining down at 80, 90, or 100 yards under perfect conditions and the wind at your back and all that sort of thing. But not a dangerous or a property damage type thing. I think again we're looking at the primary consideration is going to be the road. That's already a legal barrier.
I guess if I wanted to get an answer to that, isn't there information in the licensing handbook that's put out by Fish and Wildlife out of Thomas?
Yeah, and there are several jurisdictions involved. There's DENREC, there's state law, there's game warden law, and then I understand there's some other things. I'm not willing to think that I know all the different jurisdictions that might be involved, but there are several.
Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. None of the questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stern.
All right, so Mr. Lang.
Just clarification on the wastewater system. I see a treatment plant building, and you said dripper infiltration. You made reference to a couple different types. You're not sure what that type's going to be yet. It's going to be subject to engineering approval along with DENREC, right?
That's true.
Just observation that the hunting issue has been discussed. If the street lighting is required, it probably would be beneficial if it's downward illuminated, so that because you should get some complaints from the hunters if they speak in opposition, because it could create an impact on what they feel is their environment for hunting purposes. In the general area, not this site, but in general area. It's just observation. No other questions.
Scouts?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
Not any questions, just a statement. I think that if there's going to be a blind that's put out there, that should be something that's an agreement between somebody down the road. I don't know that I want to get the county in the business of sanctioning where a duck blind should go.
And Mr. Robertson, we agree with that. I just wanted to let you know we're open to that, because you're right, that's a private agreement.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make that clear. Thanks.
All right, Mr. Sorry, go ahead.
Concerning the lot 48 in that area, is that going to be put into a permanent land conservation, or how do you intend to address that issue of permanency? And
that's going to come right back into the open space. We'll just expand the open space.
It'll be dedicated open space. It'll be subject to the declaration of restrictions, and its use would be enforced, or the restrictions on its use would be enforced by the Homeowners Association.
And you still feel strong about lot 46 and 47 in terms of buildable, rather than being part of the conservation issues along that, the wetlands and the stream?
Yes, we do. We think we're trying to make something that's a fair compromise, but it really is an important feature to the developer for this development, and I wouldn't answer you any other way.
And on those two lots, 46 and 47, I'm sorry, I have more than one question, but
I'm used to it.
excuse me. Who made the delineations for the state wetlands on those two lots? Was that your organization?
No, that was Edward Linnae, recognized expert in wetland delineation. Probably does about, I don't know, 80-90% of the wetland delineation in Delaware.
And is that in this packet that you provided us?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Okay. Thank you for bearing with me, Mr. Chairman, once again.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lang.
Lot 46 and 47, how large are they? Size one?
One's 47,000 square feet plus, the other's 31,000 plus. So it's one's 1 acre, 1.09, the other's 0.72.
And those two lots will also be served by central sewer and central water?
That is correct.
And they have at least a 150-foot of frontage on a public road?
That is correct.
And they're not adjacent to the water body, so okay, that's all right. Just trying to clarify conservation.
Mr. Lang, is it central water or is it individual wells?
Central water.
That's well
water. Central water.
It is wells.
Individual wells.
It is, right.
But it's central sewer.
Central
individual wells.
Okay,
then those two lots need to be at least an acre each, so they're in a conservation zone on Broad Kill River. With 150 frontage.
We could expand that the area on them if we have to bring that back in line. We'd be more than happy to do that.
I was thinking it was all Central Shore and Central. If it's both, then you can go the conservation issue and address it.
Except for the front. I'm going to address that.
They're on individual wells.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Count, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Down the list. We've already been through this once.
Yeah.
It's got me confused.
I find that hard to believe, Mr. Wheatley.
Mr. Johnson.
I'll do my best.
I think Henry Kissinger said that diplomacy was the ability to state the obvious. And in regard to lots of 46 and 47, I think this probably says maybe all needs to be said about why those lots have become so important. Okay.
Thanks for clarifying that for me, Mr. Chairman.
Nobody ever likes to say that, but at the end of the day, you know, that's the point. And our job is simply to answer a land use question, gentlemen. Our job, it doesn't matter what those lots are worth or what their heartache and pain is or any of that stuff. It just doesn't matter. It becomes a land use question, very, very, very simply. So, all right, Mr. Dunkel, you asked for a few minutes to sum things up. Go ahead.
Mr. Wheatley, we hope that we've addressed the old concerns about the old plan, and I hope we've anticipated the concerns from the folks that are here tonight. I know your customs here are different than in Kent County. We don't get to say anything after we sit down unless you call us back up here, and so we've tried to do that as best we can. We are happy to enter into conditions of approval for the site. We are asking that you consider approving this plan, and we do believe that it does meet all of the legal requirements of the code and the ordinance and is appropriate for this area and in this zoning. And that's all I have.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. If you'll kindly take a seat for a moment, but not too far away. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2003-50, Kaplan, Gallo, and Howitt? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2003-50? Okay, we think this might be the hunting caucus here. Is there one person speaking for all of you, or would you all like to speak?
I'll speak for my part.
Well, why don't you come on up and do that? Every man for himself, but just don't come up and say the same thing five times, okay? We're going to listen to it once or twice.
The rest of the people in the neighborhood.
All right, then. Go right ahead.
My name is John P. Reed III. I live at 27394 Round Pole Bridge Road. My marshland is across the creek from the proposed development.
Not 46, 47. All this that's on Beaver Dam from here all the way around, all this, all the way out to Route 1 belongs to me. I only own the marsh land. I have a blind right here, which faces 46. You come around this curve, we call this the puddle hole. I have a blind right here at 47. And they've been there since 1979. I also have a stand-up blind right here.
But these blinds are on property that you do not own? That you do own?
I do own. These are blinds that's been there. This one. I own all this.
You're talking about the white, sir. That's where the marshland is.
Keep pointing to the green. But you actually mean on your side of the creek, blinds. Okay. Your blinds are on your side of the creek.
This is on this side is all his.
This is my side.
Okay, sir, if you're going to testify, I need you to come up and give your name and so on. But I think we got the idea now. I was just a little confused because you were.
This is Beaver Dam Creek.
You're on the north side of it.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Got you.
North side.
Okay.
All right. I have them. I also got a book here. Where's Mr. Hudson, we can give you flash measurements, and I will give you the book. You are required to duck hunt with steel shot. Number BB steel will travel 990 feet. This book you gentlemen have.
if they put houses on this side, they have, I cannot use from this side, which is white, this is Beaver Dam. I own from the bridge all the way around this blue here. I cannot shoot here because I'm shooting across the road, like Mr. Hudson said. I cannot shoot. This is the closest one I can shoot. It's from here, which is up to the Shockleys.
I thought you're not allowed to shoot across the street, though, right?
You cannot. I said this is the closest one to the street.
Okay. Is it more than 990 feet?
Uh-huh.
Is it more than 990 feet away?
What? From here? Mm-hmm. From here down, I can't, because I'm going to shoot across the street. Mm-hmm. From here, all this, I can. The width of this. On mine. In the same way with Nina Hope's here, I cannot shoot here. The rest of it belongs to the Lockwoods on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And according to that, they would knock me out of that, which I pay. It's 29.75 acres I own there, but I pay taxes on to the county. That's all non-usable once they approve this on that side. Also, in this part here about hunting, the previous owners was Pepper. Before that was the gentleman's name was Ed Shockley and Sally Warren. I've lived in this neighborhood 56 years. Lot 46 and 47, whether the gentleman there knows it or not, these was backfilled years ago. He also says, the engineer here says they're going to widen the road from Pole Bridge. But I went to work to the state for 30 years, 10 months, and 18 days. For every acre you destroy of wetlands, you got to replace it with two. I'd like to know how they're going to fill in this wetlands here with water stands on the side of the road. If that they own right to the bridge. Anyway, all this property down here is, including this side, which I only own the marsh, this belongs to Dave Brittenham, this field back here. I own the marsh that goes mine D Rees to the upland. All this back here is level four, everything in this neighborhood, including what just comes along the back here is Island Farms. This is Island Farms here. All level four ground and everything on Road 257. They also said about neighboring developments, the only development on 257, there is none, is on 258, which backs up to Kevin Ryan, which Gallo, I think, and Kaplan Hoyt was involved in that one, and the other people talk about it. But this is my main concern. They want to swap me out. I cannot shoot this way because I'm going to shoot on property owner over here. I shoot this way. I've shot it since 1979, and there's really, like I said, this has been backfilled. All these two lots here, because if you walk it, you gentlemen take down and walk it, you'll see there's no trees here at all. This was backfilled years ago. Thank you for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Whoever.
My name is Mark Nardi. I live just down the road at 27787 Round Pole Bridge Road.
Okay.
There's a couple things. I got a list. I'll go through real quickly. On this creek side, on lots, whatever the two contentious ones are over there, are they not part of the stormwater plan? Are they not required to be part of the stormwater plan as part of the subdivision? And if so,
we'll get you an answer to that, but go ahead.
Okay. That was one. In terms of the traffic study, you do own all the way down, like Pete was saying,
all the way down to the bridge. Yet your improvements stop here at the bend, essentially the junction with Island Farm. One is, why does it stop there? Number two, the question of the traffic guy would be, what's going to happen in terms of safety and road speeds at that change, at that transition point?
The answer,
because the road's going to go from 20 to 40 feet, right?
The answer that they gave to the question is, why doesn't it extend beyond what is shown on the page is, their answer was that they don't control what's on that side, on both sides of the road.
Well, they don't control it on this side, and what he said was he was going to ease it on this side. Mm-hmm. They were going to give an easement. They do control on this side.
No, my understanding was that they don't control the other side of that.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're going to widen it here. They don't control the other side here. So the argument doesn't really hold water as to why they're not going to widen it here.
No, I don't believe they said they were going to dedicate some land. They didn't say they were going to widen it on that side.
But they said they were going to widen all the way around here, right?
That, no.
That's not what I understood him to say.
Where are you guys? I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get a clarification because obviously one of us is wrong, and it just might likely be me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, if it is the case that they're going all the way around, then why not go there? And then what is going to happen to that transition? They're obviously not going to widen it all the way to Route 1.
Nope.
So what's going to happen to the transition there on the bridge, which is this is probably the worst corner of them all.
I appreciate you, Mr. Lank, bringing up the issue of the lights. I was going to bring that up, so you took that off my list. The depth of the pond adjacent to the road, I used to work for the Division of Soil and Water Conservation with the ditch people, ditch factor I called them, with the tax ditch office. And we had issues whenever we dig a ditch greater than 3 feet deep adjacent to the road. What does DLDOT have the same issues? We weren't able to. If we had to dig a ditch adjacent to the road that was greater than 3 feet, it was forced to be piped. These ponds will definitely be deeper than 3 feet off the road grade. How does DLDOT handle that? And what are the adjacency of the pond to the road is a big question I have, and the depth of the pond.
I would say the response to those is probably two questions better asked if this gets approved to the Sussex Conservation District and DLDOT both, because that's really sort of outside the scope of either planning and zoning or upstairs with engineering.
Not what we do.
Okay, but if you're going to approve the plan as it is, you're going to approve those ponds in that location.
We're going to approve a subdivision if it gets approved, okay? That plan could change, could come back as a result of meetings with DLDOT, meetings with all these folks. And it could be that for some reason that pond has to be relocated as a result of their discussion. So it's not etched in stone.
Gotcha.
Those are state agencies that, you know, you'd have the ability to comment to.
Right. Okay, thank you. Your name, sir?
Up here. Just ask me.
Okay, well, he talked about other lots subdivided on the road being a density of, I think he said, like an acre, three-quarter acre lots. That's not the case. I sold two lots off of my place. One was a 5-acre lot, and one was a 1.25-acre lot, which brings that to a density of about 0.32 houses per acre. If you look at their plan, about 42 acres of the 57 is buildable. And if you do your math, it comes out to about a 1.26 density, which is far greater than what was mentioned in terms of buildable land.
Did you widen the highway in front of those two lots you sold?
No, I didn't need to. The county didn't require me to.
All right, just asking.
That was done years ago.
Okay.
A lot of things were done years ago, so.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of years ago, apparently.
Yeah. That's correct.
What else can we get for you?
I think that was it. The other problem I have, you know, I could stand up here and I'd say do it if the density was lower. I just disagree with the density. I think it should be a lot lower.
All right, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
We thank you, and go ahead and take a seat, and we'll try to get an answer to your questions here. Mr. Dunkel or Mr. Couples or whoever want to speak to this one more time about what we're doing with the road and why we're doing what we're doing or not doing.
I'm just a lawyer. The engineer is going to answer that question, Mr. Wheatley, on the road. What's going to be improved and where?
Particularly up in that, whatever it is,
north. By the bridge.
Yeah, by the bridge.
Yeah, that was the big concern, and see why.
We only own on this side of the bridge, which would be the west side of the bridge. That's the area that we can improve. On the island farm side, we can't really do anything, but anything that we do there would be a transition anyway off the bridge into the newly widened. So that would provide just a logical transition anyway. And with regard here, where we've dedicated the right-of-way on our side, can't do anything about the other side.
That's all you're doing is dedicating the right-of-way. You're not doing any improvements. You're just dedicating the right-of-way at this
time. That's correct.
Okay.
Unless
of course, DLDOT required it.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Who's next?
Hi, my name is William Downs. I live at 15584 Walkabout Lane. That's a private driveway off of Round Bowl Bridge Road. One of my biggest concerns is that we are going to have 48 wells on the site. That means there's 48 possible contamination points to the groundwater. Also, you're going to have 48 lots that are going to be fertilized with potassium nitrates that are going to go into the Beaver Dam Creek. There's nothing in those sediment ponds that's going to keep that nitrate out. I also would like you to hold this development off until the Broadkill Watershed study is complete. And also, this is in a level four area and not really dedicated for development. I do have some problems with the septic area. If there's no containment, if this on-site wastewater would overflow, if the pumps quit, there's nothing that says that that the water won't automatically run right into the Beaver Dam Creek. So these are some of my concerns, and thank you for my time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Joe Larimore. I live at 15159 Hudson Road. And my concerns are that the project around the corner that was developed by the same folks, I've been in there and looked at this thing since they laid out the roads and all, and it appears to me that they have drainage pipes that go right into the water down there. And they have several lots that are the same height almost as the water. My concern is that it's all coming down a hill that the, like he says, the antifreeze and fertilizer and oil and all that stuff. The same thing is going to happen here because the water's all going to run right over to the creek. Is that same thing going to be a problem? I also have a concern about, they mentioned they're going to have a sewer pump across the road. It's going to go across and then come back. Is that sewer pump, is there any possibility that that could rupture and leak into the creek? That's a question I have. And also, being a resident of the Eagle Crest Airport subdivision, I would like to, I've been here many times before and talked to you about this. If there's a chance it does get approved, I would like that some terminology be put into the deeds mentioning that there is an existing airport that has been run by Joe Hudson and his family very successfully for over 50 years now, and we hope to keep it running for another 50 years. We're being surrounded by all these subdivisions, and we just don't want somebody to pop up their head one day and say, well, I didn't know there was an airport there, and suddenly we got 48 families over here hollering at you guys wanting to shut down our airport. And it seems to me from listening to all this testimony tonight that there still seems to be quite a few unanswered questions about many aspects of this project. So based on that, my personal opinion, I'd like for you to deny this. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Wheatley, can I just ask you, a follow-up question on that pump station. As I actually had the same question, and I guess Mr. Couples, is it gravity to that point, and then it pumps it back up to the waste? Is that the reason it's sited there? Because it doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense otherwise.
That's exactly the reason. It's there at the lowest point. Okay. Right? It's flowed by gravity there, and it's collected there and pumped back up.
What kind of assurances with, a pump station like that do you have that it won't break down or discharge?
Well, obviously anything that's mechanical breaks down, but we're going to construct it in accordance with, Sussex County has an ordinance for pump stations, have an ordinance 38, so we're going to construct a pump station to that. Because sometime, perhaps maybe there will be the opportunity to tie into Sussex County sewer system, at which time then this system would be deactivated and the pump station would be right there, right along the road and very easy to access. So that was the thinking behind that. As far as elevating, we will anticipate elevating the pump station so that there would not be any issues with the wet well or sewage getting out of the pump station and contaminating the creek. On the contrary, that's why we've done it, is to avoid any type of interaction between sewage
and to Beaver Dam Creek.
Thanks. All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? You've already had a trip. Well, then he can come up. He can come up. He can speak for himself.
Hi, my name is Brian Reed, and I live at 27084 Round Pole Bridge Road. I have a concern. I've been down there 27 years, and the traffic is only getting heavier. I just want you to take in mind that there's cars going up and down this road, not just during the daytime. I've seen it increased, and it's throughout the night, 2, 3 in the morning. And
you wouldn't be contributing to any of that traffic, would you?
I'm not. I can see it. I live right close to the road. I'm right, like, on the shoulder up. And I could see them go down the road, and from what the gentleman said earlier, they're traveling like in excess of 40. They're at least 50. Some are just flying down this road. And with the curves down there, and especially where they're talking about on this corner, you can't take that curve at anything like at 40 miles an hour or over, because you're going to flip a vehicle down there. And you get more cars down this road, it's going to be just as bad. You're going to have plenty of traffic jams.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. And we thank all of you who had an interest in this application for your patience, and we appreciate your comments.